And let's pray this morning. Jesus, light of the world, we pray that you would give us sight, that you enable us ultimately, Jesus, to see you and illuminate for us that which is true and right and good. And as you do this, we will give you thanks and praise. And so come, shine on your people this morning, I pray. I pray this in the name of Jesus. And we all said, Amen. If you would like this morning, you can open to Ephesians chapter 5, which is our epistle reading this morning, and we'll be spending time in Ephesians chapter 5. Our Ephesians passage issues to us a weighty call. We are told as an injunction or a biblical imperative from Paul to imitate God. As Paul issues his call to live a life that emulates and mimics God, he grounds our imitating God by identifying us, or we could say naming us children. A certain kind of child, a loved child. In reading this, I was reminded of a story. A number of years ago, I was in a Whole Foods outside Denver, Colorado. I just checked out and I was leaving, and as I was leaving, a black woman who worked at the Whole Foods, probably in her 40s, who was working there again, was walking towards me. I made eye contact with her and I smiled, and she smiled back and said, quote, "Have a great day, love." This micro interaction with a grocery store worker, this sentiment had potency for me. This micro interaction impacted me. And she impacted me by a word that I'm not accustomed to being referred to as by anyone really outside of my own wife, which is love. This was such an anomaly or irregularity in my experience that I even told my wife Kelly about it. And so the question comes up, why was I so taken aback or touched by this passing, potentially benign interaction? I identify myself with a number of words, but I think this exposed in me the reality that I don't identify myself by this word, love. The woman didn't know me. She didn't have any relational grounds to call me love. And she honestly might say this to every person who walks out of the store. But she expressed it nonetheless. Her voice in that moment actually aligned and resonated with what is true. She spoke that which needs to be called out of me and us. She spoke, as we will see in a moment, my identity and my primary vocation as a Christian. Is there in us a general expectation of harshness as we move through the world, rather than expectations of kindness and tenderheartedness? Paul even admonishes the church. This is before our passage in Ephesians 4:32. He says, "Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another as God in Christ forgave you." But are we more inclined to thinking there is contention and conflict around every corner rather than care and compassion? We can certainly operate from particular schemas, we can call them, that is, a deep belief of emotional patterns formed in childhood that shape how we see ourselves, others, and the world. So we can have schemas of mistrust, conflict expectations, schemas of emotional deprivation, or an abandonment schema. Paul writes, imitate God as what? As one who is dear, esteemed. The word here, beloved, can mean actually favorite. The word is often used in reference to an only child. God in Christ loves you as he loves Christ. And here in this love, as a child, you are dependent upon him. You have a security in his love for you. You are beloved. You know, children need a sense of security. They need affection and they need reassurance. Do you know that you can always rely on God for these? You may not want to or be able to mimic your earthly parents. You may not have felt loved by your earthly parents, and certainly not like a favorite to them. Have you ever considered the possibility that God wants to reparent you? Have you ever entertained even that very idea? Would you allow him to do this? Since this is who you are, what? A beloved child. Live in this love. Or in the ESV, it says, walk in love. In the words of Eugene Peterson, watch what God does and then do it his way. These last 2 weeks, I wasn't here because I was in Peru. I had the privilege of doing the 4-day classic Inca trail hike up to Machu Picchu in the Andes Mountains. How was it? It was incredible. It was beautiful and breathtaking. No, breathtaking is not a direct reference to the altitude, but yes, climbing 20,000 steps and hiking close to 14,000 feet was breathtaking in the literal sense. It was certainly an amazing experience, an experience to be present to the beauty that was in front of me. Also, the fact that the Incas lined most of the 26 miles of the trail with stone steps is quite astonishing. I'm kind of sick of steps, if I'm honest. I wouldn't even walk up these. I just crawled this morning. That's not true. So 2 weeks ago, I've done a good bit of walking. And Paul says, interestingly, to all of us, to walk a certain way. Your path is to be paved with love, as it were. And let me ask you all this. Can you describe the path that you are walking on? Or how could you describe the path you feel like you are walking? Walking a path of beauty, perhaps? A path of trying to be present to what is in front of you? A path of gratitude? Or maybe a path of fear? A path of regret? A path of doubt? Or a path of grief? You might say, I feel as if I walk alone. I walk aimlessly. Or I walk purposefully and intentionally. I walk with confidence. I walk in contentment. Or I walk with a constant sense of discontentment. Like Theo, the protagonist in Alan Levy's book, Theo of Golden, it reads, quote, pursued or pursuing, he walked. Bedraggled, unkept, inconsolable, he walked. furious, frightened, fitful, he walked, close quote. This is a description of what Theo did after experiencing loss. He walked, and he walked in particular ways with particular movement and specific motivation. Our psalm today, a familiar psalm, I'm sure to all of us, Psalm 23, is a picture of walking. Verse 4, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, there is a profound realization here on the path. The realization that goodness and mercy are always at their heels. Or Psalm 25 reads thusly, show me your ways, O Lord, and teach me your paths. Gracious and righteous is the Lord. Therefore will he teach sinners in the way. All the paths of the Lord are mercy and truth to those who keep his covenant and his testimonies. Paul writes, walk in love. Verse 1 and verse 2 actually parallel each other. Imitate God, mimic God by walking in love. This is to be our patterned way of walking. Walk in a way that you are possessed by love on the path. Experiencing first a love that acts upon us to occupy every corner of our hearts, and then move in step with a love that looks to occupy every corner of human existence. Again, Theo, the fictional character in Theo of Golden, says, quote, nothing is what it's supposed to be if love is not at the core. Nothing is what it's supposed to be if love is not at the core. We are to live in love. Walk out love. Feet on the ground, on the sidewalks and streets. Love in our hearts, love on our lips or in our speech. Love in our hands, reaching outward to embrace and love, yes, brothers and sisters and strangers. Still, verse 2, this love looks like someone. It looks like Christ. And we are learning to love, always as novices, always as children. But we're learning to love in relationship with Him who is love, Jesus, learning as carefree children, propped up, protected, surrounded, and secure by his love. Above all, Paul tells us, this love of Christ is sacrificial. He gives of his life, and so we give of ours. For the benefit, the flourishing, the good of the other. This way is fragrant. It is, well, lovely and sweet smelling. Walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. This love is intrusive. This love pushes into every nook and cranny of our lives, even those places I think we would prefer to remain private. Our own secret, sequestered places. Paul names three places, as it were. The first place is what? Our sex lives. And here's the question, an accompanying question. Are they, our sex lives, ordered by God who is love? It's getting a little awkward in here, Mike. I heard a story one time about a therapist who was conducting a therapy session, and the client invited him to have sex with her, saying, "Why don't we have sex right now?" His response, "No, I'm not going to do that because it wouldn't be loving." The client collapsed in tears, as she didn't know how to relate other than through a sexualized sense of self. Do our bodies, our sex lives, reflect Him who is pure, the giver who is love, realizing He is love's source and end, and He gives specification and bounds to our affection and genital expression? Could I say that in a message? This is verse 3. The second arena is our spending, our consuming or acquiring. I put this too in a question. Does the love of God order our economics? Being greedy or coveting in the ESV isn't loving. The third area is how we talk. And let me simply read verse 4. Let there be no filthiness, nor foolish talk, nor crude joking, which are what? Which are out of place. But instead, let there be thanksgiving. Disordered, vulgar, and demeaning speech isn't loving. So, in summary, God's love orders our privates. Love is to be in our purse, and love should be our pronunciation. There you go, 3 P's. I'm going to skip the light section of our passage because I have talked about this in the Epiphany season. And so I just want to skip down to verse 10. Verse 10, Paul says, try and find out what is pleasing to the Lord. And we make it our aim to please Him. Why? Because He's a good Father. And we again are His children. We bear His name, little Christ. We are Christians. It is our utmost desire to bear that name well because we love Him in return. And we love Him, so we mimic Him. And we, like a little child, find in Him love, light, and our aliveness. I close with this. Do you know God as love? Do you have a relationship with God through His Son, who gave Himself up for you as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God, so that you could become His beloved child? I invite you to know this good Father this morning, to receive His love, and again, potentially to invite Him to reparent you in all the places that you're broken. And church, if you know Him, are you serious about the practice of love, the way Christ loves? I invite you to cultivate this life of love. First here in this place, which should be a school for loving and learning how to love and love well. Would you cultivate your loves here as we gather each week in the life of the beloved? And to express that love to one another. It might be a little unfortunate that the first time I was referred to as love was at a Whole Foods and not at church. Express love to one another. May we be a people who are alive in the love we have in Christ. And I simply read our last verse, verse 14. Awake, or rise up, sit up, be stirred from your slumber, sleeper, and arise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. Amen.